Proverbs chapter 23. Notice with me as we come to verse 20 and 21. Verse 20 and 21. This is our third message in this chapter. We've covered several verses so far. Last week we were in verses 9 through verses 19. Verse 20 and 21, I'm just going to title the message this evening, Drunkenness and Gluttony. That's the subject here in the passage. He says here in verse 20 and 21, be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of the flesh, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Father, again, we come before Thee this evening. We thank Thee for the privilege. We thank Thee for this week that You've given us to be able to go about our business and work. We thank You for the blessings that You bestowed upon us. And Lord, we just ask now for help as we come to this passage and this text. We ask, Lord, Your blessings to be upon the reading of Thy Word. For it's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. Again, last week, verses 9 through 19, we just titled that Applying the Heart. We see here the sin of drunkenness and gluttony in our text. We're going to turn to a few verses tonight, but I'm mostly just going to give you verses if you want to write them down. But we preached just 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago. As we come through verses 1 through 8, we titled that Appetites and Covetousness. And we also, in chapter 20 and verse 1, we have an entire sermon titled Wine as a Mocker. So in one sense of the word, we've covered this. But notice as we, in verse 2, as we come to verse 2, that he says to put a knife to the throat of the one that's given to appetite. And then in verse 3, that we covered again a few weeks back, verse 3 said, be not desirous of their dainties, their delicacies. In other words, be not concerned about rich foods and expensive things of that nature. So what we're looking at here tonight basically is excess and eating and drinking. We'll keep these two together. And again, we've already covered both of these subjects as we've worked our way through this book. Both are used together a number of times in the Bible. And the combination of the two together used as a reproach against the Lord. And I'm going to give you about four passages that you can jot down. Again, both speak of someone out of control, whether it be eating or whether it be drinking. Matthew 11, verse 19, Jesus was accused of both of these by his enemies, and we know that he was not guilty of either one. Gluttony and drunkenness. In Luke 21, verse 34, there's a warning against surfeiting and drunkenness. Surfeiting is excess of anything, really, and it would include our subject here tonight. We find also in the prodigal son, as he got his inheritance and left and wasted it, we find that it says in Luke 15:14 that he wasted his substance with righteous living. It starts to say righteous, wasn't righteous, righteous living. And that's what we have here, verse 20. Be not among winebibbers, among righteous eaters of the flesh. Verse 21, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. One other passage that I'll give to you before we make some comments on these and move on is Deuteronomy. And we've actually, just in the last 3 or 4 weeks, we've actually mentioned the passage. And we turned there and read from the passage, I believe, last week. But Deuteronomy 21:20, that's the passage. And the context is verses 18 through 21. And it's a rebellious son. He's called a rebellious son, will not listen to the voice of his father and his mother. And what is interesting, this rebellious son was guilty of being a drunkard and a glutton. Those two words are used in the same passage in Deuteronomy 21, verse 20. And so here we find them used together. Now, first of all, he says in verse 20, he said, "Be not among wine bibbers and among righteous eaters of the flesh." Be not among. In other words, avoid their conversation, avoid their company, lest we be influenced by them. In other words, both are bad company, I believe is what he's saying here. Wine bibbers is just simply, in verse 20, the drunkard of verse 21. And what do we mean by a drunkard? Someone who is an excessive drinker. No moderation, out of control when it comes to drinking wine. And the righteous eaters of flesh in verse 20 is just simply the glutton in verse 21. Again, excessive eaters, no moderation, no self-control is what we see here. And then he mentions here in verse 21 that he says that they shall come to poverty. And when I look at that, I think of physical poverty and spiritual poverty as well. Their substance is consumed by their eating and drinking. And obviously, if they continue that course, we know that the drunkard will say something about this in a moment, that they will end up in hell. So we know that to be so. And then the drowsiness here in verse 21, basically both of these, someone who is excessive in drinking, we know what that does to them, and also excessive eating as well, it'll make them basically unfit for work. We talk about drowsiness, and the result is that they will have no money to clothe themselves. That's the thought we find here. Now, notice as we come back to verse 20, and let's first of all consider the drunkard. We have in verse 20 the word wine bibbers, and we have in verse 21 the drunkard, same person. Now come down with me to verse 29. I want to read from verse 29 through the end of the subject, because this is dealing with the drunkard here in the passage. And again, in Acts 20 and verse 1, we titled the message, "Wine as a Mocker," and that's all we did is just spent a sermon on that, and we have other sermons on it as well. Now, when we talk about a drunkard, if you want to write this down, you'll find this again, the issue of wine, in chapter 31, verse 4 and 5. But a drunkard is condemned in the Bible, and we see that very clearly. And there's much warning against drunkenness in both Testaments, the Old and the New, and speaks of this evil. And a drunkard is a mocker, a deceiver, and it brings a curse. In other words, drinking. It is a sin. It is not a disease. Now, it can cause diseases, but it is not. A lot of people want to say that it's a disease, and it is not. It's by choice. In 1 Corinthians, here's where I'm going to give you verses, and we're not going to turn to that many. But in 1 Corinthians 5:11, it says not to keep company with a drunkard, especially if someone calls himself a brother in the context. In 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11, I'll remind you too, we do have an article titled Wine. And again, we got a few sermons. I did one for radio years ago titled A Drunkard. But in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, there's a list of sins, a list of sinners, that if they continue in that sin, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. And one of those is being a drunkard. So it's a very serious thing when we talk about drunkenness and things of that nature. In Galatians 5, verses 19, 20 and 21, it is a work of the flesh. And we're going to actually turn to Galatians 5 a little bit later on. But it is a work of the flesh. And it, again, it, in that passage as well, it says, they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And so, again, it's very serious. And a work of the flesh is the very opposite of the fruit of the Spirit that is in verse 22 and 23. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 5 through 8, we see the issue of drunkenness and the children of darkness is what they're called, those who are involved in these kind of sins. The Lord Jesus, we just read this about 3 weeks ago in a sermon on end time prophecies. But in Matthew 24, verse 49, Jesus warned of drunkenness and he gave warning of it. Romans chapter 13 and verse 13, we are to even avoid the temptation of drunkenness. And then in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 15, I'm not quoting the entire verse, but woe. God uses that word woe to them that put the bottle to their neighbor's mouth. In other words, encourages not only them drinking, but encourages others to drink. As far as I know, sometimes some of my stats are a few years old. Some of them's even 10, 15 years old. But alcohol is still the number one drug, I believe, in America. And there's more alcoholics, at least some of the statistics show at least 5 years ago, than drug addicts. And so we have a tendency to think of talk about drugs a lot, but alcohol has been the number one drug over the years. And it destroys individuals, it destroys nations, it destroys families, it destroys communities. And so the party life with drunkenness and things of that nature is contrary to Scripture. Ephesians 5:18 says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. And that's what we're talking about, excess and eating and drinking tonight. He says, but be filled with the Spirit. And Isaiah 5:22 says, woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink. And an interesting passage on this is in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 2 through Let me see, yeah, 1 Peter 4, verses 2 through 4. I probably ought to just turn there and read it, but the lost thinks it's strange of us who are Christians that we don't participate, and it uses several words, in their lasciviousness, their lust, their excessive wine, their revelings, and their banquetings. And I think there's some other words that are given there. But the excessive wine. One writer said, a drunk is like a bottle, all neck and belly and no head. And Shakespeare had said, alcohol is a poison men take into the mouth to steal away the brain. And this is so true. So notice we find in verse 20, we find that the wine bibbers are the drunkard in verse 21. But now let's come to the second subject. And again, I'm going to probably give more verses and not be turning to very many. And the subject of gluttony. The 1828 Webster's Dictionary says, one who indulges to excess in eating. It also gives this definition, one eager of anything to excess. So it can go beyond just the eating. Another definition was extravagant indulgence of the appetite for food. And the other, another one, there's more than this, but another one, luxury of the table. And so those are some of the definitions given in the 1828 Webster's Dictionary. But notice we find here in verse 20, righteous eaters of the flesh. And we find the word glutton in verse 21. So gluttony, righteous eaters of the flesh. What does that mean? It means to indulge in excessive eating, to overdo it, to go overboard, consuming more than we need to gratify the flesh. an uncontrolled appetite. In other words, someone that has no discipline when it comes to sit down and eating at the table. I want you to turn with me to chapter 24. I want to illustrate this. And I want to say just a few things. First of all, when we talk about food, food is a gift from God. Not only to keep us alive, but it's a gift of God to enjoy. There's nothing wrong with enjoying our food. It is given to man and beast. If you want to write down Psalms 104, verses 10 through 25, and there's just many verses on this. But I'm going to read here in Proverbs to illustrate this, and maybe chapter 24, chapter 25, and maybe chapter 27. Don't let me forget to go to chapter 27. That just come to mind. But when we talk about food, again, God gave us a sense of smell and taste for a reason. And so they were even feast days. In the Old Testament, one is called the Feast of Tabernacles. Yes, there was some fasting and things of that, but there also was some feasting. So there's nothing wrong with enjoying food. The Lord's Prayer, part of the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6:11, give us this day our daily bread. And what is interesting, many times before that Israel went into the promised land. In the Old Testament, the Bible called it what a land flowing with milk and honey. And I'll use honey as an illustration tonight of how that honey can be good for you and it can be bad for you. That I want to use that as an illustration. I think that's, it's here in our book. We don't have to leave Proverbs to do that. But what is interesting, many times in the Scripture, and by the way, that expression, a land flowing with milk and honey, is used a lot of times. But in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verses 7 through about 9, and there would be a number of other places, as Israel was to go into the promised land, and here's just a few words. I wrote them down so I wouldn't forget them. Here's just a few words that are used. There's many more in other places. But he said it was a land of brooks of water and springs, wheat, barley, grapes, he uses the word vine, fig trees, pomegranate trees, olive oil, honey, milk, and in other words, we'll find all of these and when we put the verses together. But there's several of these words just in those two or three verses in Deuteronomy 8. Leviticus 11, God even gives a list and uses the whole chapter, I think, gives a list of the clean animals, fish, birds, and whatever that man could eat, and it would be good for his health as well. I had a man in the church one time that he said, if I'm not eating, I'm always thinking about eating. And that's sometimes our problem, you know, in this country. We have so much. We have so much. In Numbers 11, I'm just going to say the whole chapter, but I'm going to give you particulars. In verse 4 and in verse 31 through 34, Israel was not, while they were in the wilderness journey, this is, you know, 40 years before they went into the promised land. They would immediately went into the promised land if they hadn't rebelled against God. But they spent 40 years in the wilderness. And we know that God supplied them water. He supplied them manna. In other words, He took care of them. And they were not happy with that. They were not happy with the provisions. And I just have a feeling that God gave them those provisions, not just to teach them a lesson to trust Him. And that was so, as you read through Deuteronomy 8, beginning in verse 1. But I think that probably He gave them those provisions that would be the best to sustain them through the wilderness journey. But they became very unsatisfied. They said, "Who will give us flesh to eat?" And the mixed multitude, we got an entire sermon on that several years ago. The mixed multitude started the griping and complaining. And then others, you know, it only takes one. And then you have a whole church complaining or a whole family complaining. And so the mixed multitude started this, and then others got in on it. So God gave them so much quail that it was coming out of their nostrils. And then he plagued them, and so they had to start digging some graves to bury people. So what's the moral to that story? Let us be content with food and raiment, with what God provides for us. And let us be content with that. Question I heard asked one time, do we eat to live or do we live to eat? It's a good question, isn't it? And so what is gluttony? It is those who lavish the body given to carnal appetites. And again, let me just give you an example. And I know I've done this. I'm guilty of this. Have been. How many have ever eat to the point that you're uncomfortable? Can I see your hands? How many has ever eat to the point that you're miserable and sometimes even hurt? Or makes you feel bad? Makes you want to vomit? Stretch your stomach to the point that you're just totally miserable? We all been guilty of that, haven't we? And so that's what we're talking about here. Now, I like buffets, but buffets can be dangerous for some people. I like buffets because there's a variety. You can actually go if you want to get salad and meat and vegetables. You can get what you want. But some people, they just shovel it in. And carry just like carrying a shovel in. And I had a preacher friend of mine that used to live near, he pastored another church, and he'd call about once a month and want me to go eat with him. He said, let's go buffet our bodies. And he did. He literally buffeted his body. There's a restaurant across the bay. Lambert's, is that the name of it? Where they throw bread at each other. And throwing bread around, the servings are probably 3, 4, 5 times the size of a normal serving. And you can just eat all you want, and then you can call the ambulance to come and pick you up and carry you wherever you need to go. Professional eaters, they know every restaurant and all the menus of every restaurant. So gluttony is a common sin that most are not ashamed of. And the glutton would, talk about the drug addict and the drunk, and still yet not ashamed of gluttony. Notice with me as we read, I'm going to be reading from chapter 24, and I'm going to just illustrate how something can be extremely good and healthy for you, and also can make you sick. He says here in chapter 24, verse 13 through 14, he said, my son, eat thou honey, because it is what? It's good. And he said, and the honeycomb. Well, that's something that tastes good. And he says, which is sweet to the taste. And then he gives an illustration here with the soul. Honey's for the body. He said, so, verse 14, so shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul when thou hast found it, then there shall be a reward and thy expectation shall not be cut off. So you got something good here for the body and something good for the soul. Notice with me in chapter 25, two verses in chapter 25. First of all, in verse 16. In verse 16, now we've already seen that honey is good, right? Honey is healthy and it's good for us. But he said here in verse 16, he said, hast thou found honey? Eat so much as is, what's the next word? Sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomit it. Notice another verse in verse 27, which carries us a little farther. In verse 27, he said, it is not good to eat much honey, so for men to search their own glory is not glory. In other words, he's talking about the physical and the spiritual. So honey is healthy and it's good for you, but to eat too much of it will make you sick and even to the point of make you to vomit. When I was growing up, we had a 50-acre farm. We always had beehives, and so I was around those all of my life, helped my dad, as they called it, rob the bees of their honey. And there's a technique and a way to do that. But we also took wild honey from the woods out of a tree. Bees would build the honeycomb and have honey in the tree, and we've also done that many, many times as well. Well, notice one other passage. Notice in chapter 27, and I want to read two verses. I'll read verse 26 and 27. And by the way, I've been to Lambert's once or twice. I got to see what took place. And there's some eating that goes on in that place. How many have ever been there? Yeah. Notice with me now as we come to verse 26 and 27. So come back to the point that food is a gift from God to be enjoyed for man and beast. Again, God gives us the sense of smell and taste, and we see all through the Bible. We even spoke about this last week a little bit, the table, sitting down and eating. All right, notice in verse 26 and also in verse 27. He says here in verse 26, the lambs are for thy clothing, and the goats are the price of the field. Verse 27, thou shalt have goat's milk enough for thy food, for the food of thy household, and for the maintenance for thy maidens. And I don't have the time now, but remind me to tell you a story about my encounter with goats and having them and milking them. All right, notice back with me. I'll tell you what, let's do this. Let's go to Galatians 5. You can turn loose the Proverbs. Let's go to Galatians 5. I'm going to read here and then just give you some more verses and we'll be through. So what is the key to all of this? Well, temperance. Notice as we come to Galatians chapter 5. Now, first of all, all I really need to do is read verse 22 and 23. I've already mentioned verses 19 through 21. And speaking of drunkenness, and it is a work of the flesh. Notice as we come to verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. We find here that when we consider the fruit of the Spirit, one of these is temperance. And when we talk about gluttony, we talk about food, we need that. Temperance means self-control, a balanced life, moderation in thought and action, and the opposite of self-indulgence. In anything, not just food or drink, but in anything, it's to be restrained and to master every appetite and passion. Now, here's something that we got to be careful of, in our society. When we talk about all of us as individuals, none of us have the same metabolism as far as our body is concerned. Some have more of a tendency to be heavier than others. And as we get older, that metabolism changes as well. So I want to make this statement in this sermon because I've listened to people at times, and I'm not talking about in this church per se, but I've listened to people that can get real critical. And here's the thing. One can be a little overweight and not be a glutton. And one can be as skinny as a rail and be a glutton. Do I need to repeat that? Does that make sense? We need to be careful how we judge one another. There's some people can look at food and almost gain weight. There's other people that, they no matter what they eat, they don't seem to gain it. I'm 71 years of age, and I've never in my life ever tried to lose any pounds. But most of the people I know do. As a matter of fact, when I moved here at 38 years of age and started this church, I was only 155 pounds. I told my wife, I said, I've got to add on some weight. I did. I went to one purposely to 175 and actually got beyond that just a little bit, but I was able to carry it, you know, with my height. And so I have never, ever tried or needed to lose weight. As a matter of fact, last year, I purposely, until now, am trying to keep some weight on. I lost 17 pounds for no reason, as we got into last year. But I have been guilty of gluttony. You understand what I'm saying? So you can be guilty of this and not be overweight. Now, it's been a number of years now, but I have eaten in excess and feel miserable and horrible afterwards. I've done that probably a number of times over the years. You didn't know that I was addicted to popcorn, did you? And have you seen my bowl now that I eat, the size I eat? Well, it used to be about this big around every night, 7 days a week. And I had to go to Popcorn Anonymous. No, I didn't really go there. But I had a problem with that. And as I got older of abusing that, as I got older, I'd lay down, and this stuff is rolling around in your stomach, trying to come back up. And so I asked, I got to do something about this. So you don't have to be overweight to be a glutton. We can be excessive in quantity or quality. And what I mean by quantity is the amount, and quality is have an expensive taste for things. And again, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and in verse 8, let us be content with food and raiment. I want you to turn to one other passage and we'll close. Notice with me in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. If we spent most of the time trying to take care of ourselves instead of worrying about others, we'd probably be a lot better off, wouldn't we? Some other verses, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost, so we should try to take care of them the best we can. 1 Corinthians 9, 27, the Apostle Paul said that he had brought his body under subjection, and I'm just giving you part of the verse. 1 Corinthians 10, 31 says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. That's a good one, isn't it? And I'll tell you this, the sin in Sodom wasn't just sodomy as we know it by. It was fullness. It had fullness of bread, Ezekiel 16:49, fullness of bread and abundance of idleness, as well as sodomy, occupied with food and drink, and also immorality. The first temptation was food in the Garden of Eden, the very first. It was pleasant to the eye, and they took of the tree and ate of the fruit, the forbidden fruit. 2 John 2, let us be concerned about our health, live a disciplined life, and let us also learn to fast for spiritual reasons, but it'll also benefit us physically as well. But let us close here in 2 Peter chapter 1, I want to read verse 5 and 6. Verse 5 and 6. He's speaking of all that we have in Jesus Christ in verse 3 and 4. Great things, a divine nature and divine power. Then he said in verse 5 and 6, and beside this, give all diligence, that is, make it our business, to add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge, there's the word, temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness, verse 7, brotherly love, and to brotherly love charity. And he tells us in the next two verses that if we'll do this, if we'll have temperance, I'm just going to use that word because of our subject tonight, that we'll be fruitful. And it tells us also in verse 9, if we don't have temperance, we're blind. We're blind and cannot see afar off and have forgotten that we've been purged from our old sins. So God does address this. It's interesting that drunkenness and gluttony are placed in the same verse a few times throughout the Scripture. Would you stand with me, please? Father, we thank you tonight for, again, this privilege and opportunity to come together. And Lord, we just ask your blessings now upon the last hymn and the prayer requests and the prayers to be lifted up here tonight. For it's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.